Yep, there we go. All right, we are just going to go ahead and get started with our message today. First of all, I would like to commend all of the men who showed up on your own little lonesome while your wives or significant others are at women's retreat. Good on you. I've already made a list, and I'm going to send out a nice letter to your wives. No, I'm not. All right, I don't know if you've ever noticed that things in our world are getting crazier and crazier. Things that used to be common sense 10 years ago are now flipped upside down, and it doesn't matter what anybody says. They're right and you're wrong. There's no debate anymore. There's no, oh, you can believe what you believe, and I'll go ahead and believe what I believe, and let's just leave it at that, and let's be nice to one another. Those days are gone. It's absolutely crazy what is happening in our world. And my message today is called The Truth 101. Because you hear people say, well, what is true for you is not true for me. Oh, that's not my truth, that's your truth. We're going to take a look today and see what actual truth is. And I've got a thing, I've got a little bit out of order here, but take this, write it down. I am going to actually have this put on this wall over here. Truth is truth. It stands alone. It doesn't care what you think of it, or whether you believe in it or disagree with it. Truth never changes. There is an absolute truth written by God, and no matter what our governors say, no matter what our Supreme Court says, truth is still truth. And we're going to take a look in the scriptures. There's a few issues that we're going to hit right out the bat. And it starts in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It's really a good place to start to find out what truth really is. And some of you may not agree with this. Take it up with God. This is His word. Take it up with Him. I am just the messenger. But here at New Hope Christian Center, we do not shy away from those things that are controversial, because everything is controversial now. Everything can be turned into an offense somehow. And some people seek it out. What a miserable life where you're just waiting for someone to say something so that you can turn it into an offense. Get a life, is what I have to say to those people. Get a life. In compassion, in love, but get a life. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You will not hear this in any science books. You will not hear this in any biology books. What you will hear is a fact of evolution that used to be called the theory of evolution. Well, they've dropped the word theory, and they just teach it as a fact. The truth is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything that you see has been created. And if you separate yourself from your political bent or whatever, and actually look at the facts, there's no way we could be here today through evolution, macro or micro. You see, when you talk to an evolutionist, they go back to the Big Bang. The Bible goes back to prior to the Big Bang. In the beginning, God. And He created everything that we see, everything that we taste, touch, smell, everything. They say that the odds of evolution, or the odds of one single cell amoeba developing into a human being, is the same odds as if a tornado went through a junkyard, and after it passed through, it built a working 747. There are better odds of that happening than actually evolution. You see, evolutionists, they only go back so far because they can only go back so far. Well, we just don't know what happened back then, but we teach it anyways. And if you look at the fossil records, they've been lying to us for years. Have you noticed that now dinosaurs came from chickens and turkeys? And now they're starting to put feathers on some of the raptors. There is no fossil evidence to that claim. All they refer to is a drawing. There is no fossil record of that. Yet, that's what's being taught to our kids. When my daughter was in public school, we talked regularly about what she was learning, because a lot of it is just flat out false. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God doesn't care what evolutionists think about his truth. He says, I will confound the wisdom of the wise. The wisdom of the wise is foolishness to God. You see, we like to think that we're so, so smart. Well, there's one that is way smarter than we are, and it is God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, here's a hot topic for you. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but there are only two genders, male and female. That's it. No matter what your feelings are, no matter how you identify, the fact is you were created as a man or a woman, period. And to say any differently is actually flying in the face of the Creator. Yet we live in a culture where you just get to pick and choose whatever you want. Things are so different now. I remember when you would go into a restaurant or someplace and they had the men's room and the women's room. Well, now there are alternatives to that. And if my daughters were in school and a boy decided he wanted to use the same restroom as my daughter, I would have a real hard time with that. Does that make me a hater? No. It makes me a father. And just because I disagree, I so want to make these shirts. I disagree is not equal to I hate. You see, nowadays, if you disagree, you're a hater. You're a fascist. You're a Nazi. You're a racist. No, I have my opinion, and they have theirs. And they are okay to have their opinion, even if it's wrong. But as a man of God, I am to love those people that I disagree with. I am to give them respect. My Bible says, as much as it is in your control, keep the peace. I'm not going out looking for a fight. But what I am doing is declaring truth. Not truth that is decided by the Supreme Court, but the truth as it is in the Scriptures. And if you call yourself a Christian, these are the things that we need to stand up for and represent. My Bible says, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second greatest commandment is this, what? Love your neighbor. That is an all-inclusive statement. There's no asterisks by it. love your neighbor unless this. No, love your neighbor, period. You know how they'll know that we're different? Because we love them. Because we love them. Amen? Genesis chapter 2, 7 says, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. All other things that God created were spoken into existence. Let there be light. Actually, in the Hebrew, it is be light. Let there be light is kind of like a woo. Be light is bam. You want to talk about Big Bang? When nothing turned into something was an incredible Big Bang. But God spoke all the things into existence except for man. And man, he actually took his own breath and breathed it into him. He didn't do that with the animals. He didn't do that with the plants, the birds, the fish. Only man. And when I say man, I mean mankind. Human beings. He breathed into him life. That means that there's something special about that part of his creation. Does it not? He could have just said, be man. But he didn't. He took the time and the care and the lovingness of scooping up the dirt. And it's interesting if you look at it scientifically, of how many minerals that we have in our body that are dirt. It's a very high percentage. But it says he breathed into us. So there's something special. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, but there is a place where someone has testified, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned them with glory and honor. This person is asking, why do you care? Why do you care so much about this little blip in an incredible expanse of universe? And all the incredible things that you created, why do you focus on them? Basically, you say, I don't understand your love for mankind. I don't understand your love for the people that you created. Now, there's a little thing that I want to go over in verse 7. It says, you made them a little lower than the angels. Actually, the phrase there for a little is brachus, and it means for a little while. They left after a while. So that verse should actually read, you made them for a little while lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor. So he created us. When we were created, we entered into a body that is a little bit lower for a little while lower than the angels. But if you read the rest of the book, we are going to be exalted. See, the angels were not made in God's image. We were. And for a little while you are here on this earth breathing, we are lower than the angels. But that's going to change. We will actually become adopted sons and daughters for those who believe. We will be part of his family. The angels never will. So that phrase is, for a little while, he made them a little lower than the angels. Excuse me. So now we're going to move on from that. And if you continue to read in Genesis, it talks about Adam and Eve and how God blessed them. He walked with them in the garden. There was a personal face-to-face relationship that they had with God because they had not been disobedient yet. However, when they did disobey, they were separated from God. They could no longer walk in the garden. They were banished from his presence because of the sin that they had committed. In Isaiah 59, 2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." See, Adam and Eve were banished from his presence because of their disobedience. And when we were born into that sin. We carry on their genes. We look back and we look at the story and Eve says, oh, she's talking to the serpent. And she feels like she's getting a raw deal from God. So she takes the fruit. She says, oh, it looks good. And she eats it, even though she knew that she was not supposed to. And then she handed it to her husband. And he ate of it as well. At that moment, their sin demanded that a penalty be paid. You see, we live in a culture that says, you do whatever you want to do. You live your life however you want. You get to choose. The truth is, no, you don't. And whether you believe that you are from the Creator does not change the fact that you were created by Him. You can deny it. You can say, I don't believe it. And the truth is, the truth doesn't care. It's still the truth. And for everyone that has ever sinned, a penalty must be paid. It says the wages of sin is what? Death. And everybody I have ever met has sinned. I've only sinned like once or twice, so. And I just did it again. That's called a lie. Your iniquities have separated you from God, and God wanted nothing more than to dwell with his people. He wanted to, he established it the way he wanted it to be. In the garden with his creation. And all of a sudden, it's done. A payment has to be paid. And God wants nothing more than to restore that relationship with his creation. It's exactly what he wants. And we don't live in that reality because we are sinners. Amen? Isaiah 59:1 says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear." God's intention is to save. When Adam and Eve sinned against him, he wasn't all flustered. He knew what was going to happen. And you say, well, why would he create people and give them the choice to sin? Why not just create them perfectly and live with them forever? Because there has to be a choice to love him. Otherwise, you're just forcing them to love you. So see, God wants all of us to make that choice. To want to dwell with him. So we have a Savior. So God has a plan for salvation, but who does it entail? Who does God want to save? 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." You see, God wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to live in eternity with him. That is his desire. If you go around to certain churches, certain denominations, they believe that they're the only denomination that is going to heaven. That is wrong. The Catholics think they're the only ones that are going to heaven. Because in their creed, it says that you have to be baptized into the apostolic church in order to go to heaven. So if you have not been baptized in a Catholic church, you are going to hell. That is not true. That is absolutely not true. They also believe in purgatory, which is a holding bin after you die, where you can go and work off your sins. My Bible says salvation comes by grace through faith and not by works, so that no one can boast. You can't work hard enough or long enough to pay that penalty. Why? Because the payment of that penalty is your blood, which is your lifeline. You lose your blood, you die. You can take out multiple organs out of your body and still live. You can be on life support, but if you don't have blood in your body, you're dead. And that's the payment that God required. Blood. We can't work off. We can't be good enough. There's a lot of people you say, and if you've ever talked with people about the gospel or whatever, and you said, where are you going to go after you die? Well, I'm going to heaven. Well, based on what? Well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person, so I deserve to go. Well, what's good? What is good? Are you comparing yourself to a mass murderer or a prostitute? What is good? Who gets to set the bar? God does. And the bar is set really high. Really, really, really high. So, he wants everyone to come to the knowledge of him. How will he save? How is he going to save? In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. How is God going to save? He devises a way that we can have that penalty paid for us. Atonement means a payment. So when Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he was making payment or atonement for all sin. He basically said to his father, you know, that you've set the bar pretty high. In the Old Testament, they used to slaughter multitudes of animals to cover over sin. Just like God covered over Adam and Eve with animal skins. They tried to cover their sins with plants. And God says, nope, that payment needs to be blood. And that's why the animals had to die. Innocent animals were allowed to be the substitute for their sins. And when Jesus stepped on the scene, he says, I am willing to make that payment. And he says, to be received by faith. Jesus says, it's free. I am making this payment for you. It's called the Great Exchange. I'm taking my pure record, flawless record, for when I lived here on this earth, and I am giving it to you, and you give me your 16 volumes of offenses and sins. I will take all of that here. And all you got to do is reach out and take it. All you got to do is reach out and take it. There has been no greater exchange in all of creation for a man to give up his life for people he didn't even know. Amen? Amen? So, how can we sign up for this salvation plan? How do we say yes? Have you ever been to a vacation rental thing where they try to get you to buy timeshares, and they make it sound like such a great plan. And or you go to the car lot, and the guy goes, "What's it going to take for you to drive out of this car today?" And they make it sound like such a great plan. And it's usually not. But the plan that God has is the best plan you'll ever sign up for. Because it's not only good here, it's good for after. Amen? How can we sign up? Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." There is no salvation without repentance, which means there is sin in this world. A lot of people say there isn't. Yes, there absolutely 100% is. We had a lady that used to go to the church here. She was always a little off on her doctrine, and she was very proud of what she knew, but she was not wise. And I don't do Facebook. I don't do any social media. I just forget it because I'm old. But she posted something, showed me the post, and she basically said, "I have never done anything bad enough to deserve to go to heaven." Well, she don't understand what sin is. She was basing her salvation on being good enough. And when you say you're good enough to get into heaven on your own laurels, then you are basically spitting on the cross, saying, "I don't need it. I am good enough to get in by my own self." And that is a very scary place to be. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." First is repentance. Second is believing in your heart and in your mind that Jesus did die for your sins and understanding that concept. And then it says you are to profess your faith. Your faith is to be shared with other people. And you don't have to go to seminary for 4 years in order to profess your faith. Every one of us has a different degree of faith. And we are going to be held accountable for what we have and how we use it. Can I be good enough to receive this salvation? Psalm 14:3 says, "All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one." Can you be good enough to get to heaven? The Bible says, nope. You can't. You can't do it on your own. Can I work enough to buy my way into this salvation? Mormonism is based upon works. How much you do here depends on where you're going to end up. And if you get into a dialogue with a Mormon, they will say, "Oh yeah, we believe in Jesus. Oh yeah, we believe in God. Oh yeah, I believe that Jesus died for my sins." But when you dive into it and look at what their books actually say, they do not believe in salvation. They believe in exaltation. They believe that God was just like them in an earlier time, that he was created and that he did so well on his planet that he was given his own planet. That is not the God that I know in the scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is Elohim, creator, judge, all knowing. No beginning. That does not match up with the God of the Mormons. Mormons also believe that Jesus had a brother who was Satan. That's not the Jesus I know. Because it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word, capital W, was with God. And the Word is God. And that nothing was created that He didn't have a hand in. That is not the Jesus of Mormonism. The Jesus of Mormonism was created, had nothing to do with creating this planet, which is not truth according to the Scriptures. Is this making sense? You see, we need to know what the truth is. In order to defend the truth, you need to know what it is. Because you're going to hear a lot of things out there that are absolutely false, but they sound good. The Word says that we need to be able to defend our faith. And one way of doing that really well is by knowing who you're talking to and who you're dealing with. Paul went into, was it Athens? And he didn't start preaching right away. He walked around for a couple days. He wanted to get to know these people. He wanted to know what made them click, what their deities were. And he was walking down the main thing, and they had all of these statues of all these different gods. They worshipped just about everything back then. And they actually had a statue that did not have a name. And it said, to the unknown God. They wanted to make sure that they honored every god. So they actually created a statue for the unknown God. And when Paul began to engage them, he didn't start by shoving the gospel down their throats. He started by, I see you are very devout in your worship of the gods. And I see that you have a statue that has to an unknown God. Let me introduce you to that one known God. And you know they would have been, because they're all about gnosis, knowledge, more knowledge. Oh, here's this guy has new knowledge. And he was able to share the gospel because of his approach on how he did it. See, we can defend our faith sometimes by knowing about someone else's faith. It's actually very, very helpful. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't come around my house anymore. And neither do the Mormons. The last time we had a couple Mormons there, I had this one younger elder. I had his head spinning. He looked at me and he goes, you know this stuff, don't you? I go, I absolutely do. Well, how do you know? I've studied it. Well, we've got this. And I go, yeah, you've got some stuff there that doesn't hold water. Archaeologically, spiritually. Well, what do you mean? And so I started listing off some things, especially their prophecies. Their prophecies are terrible. In the Bible, it says, if I send someone and they claim to be a prophet from God and they speak truth, you know that he is from me. But if I do not send someone and they say that they are speaking on my behalf and prophesying on my behalf and it doesn't come true, he is not from me. Have nothing to do with him. Nothing. So if someone proclaims to be a prophet of the Lord in this day and age, they better be 100% right on their prophecies. Every one of them that are on YouTube or whatever that I have ever seen, well, he's about 40%. Oh, he's about 50%. Well, you know what? I could get a quarter out of my pocket and hit those odds. But my Bible says, have nothing to do with that person. Yet they continue to be in the limelight. They continue to call themselves prophets, and people continue to listen to their drivel. Know the word. Know the word. There, a couple years ago, anybody remember Dana Coverstone? Dana Coverstone came out, is a pastor, had a premonition or a prophecy, and he shared it with the men's group. It was right in the middle of COVID or prior to COVID, and he made all of these prophecies. I saw in my dreams a hand, and the hand was smashing a date, and that hand is the Chinese entering into America. By November of this year, Chinese and Russian soldiers will be on American soil. And I saw schools. This was prior to COVID. I saw schools, and there was cobwebs everywhere. There were nobody in the schools. Well, that had already started happening by the time he prophesied about this. But the prophecies about the Chinese government taking over and everything, he put a date on it. And I go, and I actually had a special evening service on a Friday talking about these prophecies. Because if he is a prophet of God, then we need to listen to his warnings. But if he's not, have nothing to do with him. And I says, this is going to be easy. He put a date on this. So he said in November, these things are going to happen. On December 1st, I looked him up because he was wrong. He blamed God that God gave him the wrong information. Holy buckets, people. And he still continues to post. And I looked at his followers. He's got like 600,000 followers on YouTube. What in the world? Why? Well, he made one mistake. Oh, big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. If you're going to call yourself a prophet of God, then you better be right. You will be right if you're a prophet of God. So there's so much garbage out there, and it looks good. There are so many pastors out there that they sound good, but then if you listen, there's something not right there. And I love this, the prophets on TBN or wherever. They arrive to their conventions in limousines. And they have this, and they have that. You know what? What were the lives of the actual prophets like in the Old Testament? Nobody would want to sign up for that. Because they were beaten, they were hated, they spoke God's word, and they were not popular at all. In fact, a lot of them went into depressions. Yes.
Years ago, when I worked for Goodyear, they opened a new Mormon tabernacle down in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. They tore my truck apart, yet they had, like you said, they came in limousines, armed security mm-hmm. for the church elders for mm-hmm. the Mormon church.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's like, they had a guy on me with a gun the entire time I changed tires on the bus. And then they physically escorted me off there.
Yep.
Infidel.
You're an infidel, yeah.
Infidel was in a Mormon.
Yep.
They requested a Mormon to come out and change your tires.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh.
Yeah, they.
I'm sorry.
You compare them to the prophets of old. Oh, mama. They wouldn't sign up for it. So you need to know. You need to know your doctrine. You need to know your scriptures. Because the best lie is 99.9% truth. It only takes that little bit to make it false. Amen? All right. Are there any other ways to receive this salvation? Are there any other? Because there, a lot of people say, all roads lead to heaven. The Muslim God, the Buddhist, the Islam, whatever. They all believe, some believe, that it doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter who you follow. Eventually, we all end up in the same place because it's all the same God. That is a lie. That is a flat-out lie. And here's why. John 14:6. This is Jesus talking. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty exclusive. That's a teeny tiny gate. But it's truth. For someone to say that all roads lead to heaven is a lie from the pit of hell. And the enemy is dancing around. And why? Because he wants to destroy what is closest to God. And that is mankind. It's you and me. He wants nothing more than to destroy that relationship that you have with him. And he will use any means possible to make sure that it happens. And usually his greatest weapon is lies, alternate truths. There is no such thing as an alternate truth. We don't have differing truths, and they're true for differing people. There is a standard. God has set the standard. I want to go back. I want to have the music. I'm going to have Ron and David come on up here. The whole music ministry team. I'm going to just repeat this. Truth is truth. It stands alone. It doesn't care what you think of it or whether you believe in it or disagree with it. Truth never changes. Amen. Amen? There is a standard that has been set. And our culture is railing against it en masse. And we need to make sure that we can stand firm for truth, because it's going to get harder and harder and harder. Do you realize that the culture that we live in would deem this hate speech? If someone decided to get a hold of it and listen to this guy. He's a hater. He's a fascist. He's a Nazi. No, I'm not. I'm a speaker of truth. You see, we live in a culture that cancels out or censors a lot of truth. There were a lot of studies that came out for the vaccine that were presented, and they were shut down. Their websites were not allowed, and it said cancellation because of misinformation. I love that little tag right there. Oh, misinformation. That's just misinformation. No, it's information that doesn't agree with your information. And a lot of times, I don't trust your information. But it has a stamp of the government. I especially don't trust your information if that's where you're getting your information from. We are called to know the truth. We are called to stand firm for the truth. And as the days get darker and darker, we're going to see a lot more Christians fall by the wayside. We're going to see a lot more garbage entering into the churches. The New Age teaching is running rampant in a lot of churches today. They're starting to blur the lines between truth and lies. A lot of churches are allowing a lot of things to happen that looks very, very similar to the church, the Israelites, and the worship system right before God exiled them. They began to bring their own gods into the temples. They began to pray on the hills under the spreading trees. They began to implement. They didn't kick God out, but they started implementing all this other garbage and allowing it to happen and be a part of the church. And God says, I wish you would just repent and turn back to me. I have sent you my prophets. You kill them. You beat them. You don't listen to them. I have sent you warning after warning after warning. I just want you to repent and come back to me. And their mentality was, God does not see. God does not see what we're doing. Yeah, he does. He's the author of truth. He gets to decide what's truth. We don't. Amen? Please stand.
I love the word truth, because there's only one truth. The world, the culture we live in tries to say, well, you know, whose truth, your truth or my truth? No, the truth. There's some things that are still absolute and are not negotiable, are not wishy-washy, and God's truth is one of them. And until we come to the place where we are not willing at all to even think about compromising the truth of God, we stand on shaky ground. No matter what like Pastor James said, no matter what the Supreme Court says, no matter what the President said, they don't have the last word. God does. And we need to come in full obedience to his word. He's the only way to salvation. His way is the only way to salvation and eternal life. If you hear this morning, you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're not sure of what your destiny will be if you walk out this sanctuary and drop dead. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. There is a judgment. We need to be ready and we need to be prepared. Jesus is standing with open arms, waiting. Come, my child, lay your burdens upon me. Whatever burdens we have this morning. Because guess what? When you accept Jesus as your Savior, all your troubles don't end. That's another lie that we may hear sometimes. No, in fact, a lot of troubles begin at that point. But God has already won the victory. Victory is assured, brethren, as long as we remain in him and he remains in us. There's no battle we'll fight that we can't win with God on our side. So let's take courage this morning. Let's be encouraged to hold on to his truth. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. It's a good word for a time like this. We pray that we will accept what your word says, that we will study your word, that we will meditate upon your word, and your word will take root into our hearts, O God, so that when the culture comes, when the enemy tries to whisper words of doubt, your word will reign supreme. In the name of Jesus, that there will be no doctrine of man that will cause us to sway from your truth, Lord. Oh, we desire to know you more and more, Lord. And your word said, if we seek you, you will be found. Father, we pray your strength upon us, Lord. We pray you will lead us, you will guide us, you will direct us in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.